We've spent weeks with shepherds, angels, magi. We've looked to the star. We've peered into the stable. We've traveled a long way alongside Joseph. We've pondered things in our hearts like Mary. Mark's gospel gives us none of that. No list of ancestors to put Jesus' birth in context, like we find in Matthew's gospel. No heavenly hosts or hurrying shepherds like we discover in Luke. None of the cosmic wonder that opens John's gospel. In Mark's gospel, from which we read today, Jesus' story begins at the river, not at his birth, but at his baptism. We read from Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've looked at the sky this week a lot more than usual. My best friend Sarah, I was in town for a few days, coming to warm and sunny Colorado from chilly North Carolina. And at least once a day, she would say, "I just can't believe how big the sky is here." And we both look up. Did Jesus notice the sky on the day of his baptism? Did he look up at it before he went under the water? Did it look different on that day than it had on other days? Well, all we have is Mark's account that when Jesus comes up out of the water, dripping the Jordan River from his hair and his clothes, his eyes shift to the sky. It's there he sees the heavens torn apart. Not opened. That's how Matthew and Luke describe it. But in Mark's gospel, it's torn apart. Now, the Greek word here is a form of the verb schizo, as in schism. It's also the root of the word schizophrenia. It's not the same word as open. You open the door, you close the door's still the same, right? But something that's torn apart is not easily closed again. The ragged edges never quite go back together the way they were. A Mark knew what he was doing, I think, when he chose this word schizo. He remembered Isaiah's plea centuries before when the prophet cried out to God, "Oh, that you would tear the heavens open and come down and make your name known to your enemies and to make the nations tremble at your presence." We read that from the prophet Isaiah. Now, in that moment of Jesus' baptism, there's no indication that the nations were trembling just yet, anyway. To hear Mark tell it, in fact, it was only Jesus who saw this celestial rending. And the voice that came with it was intimate. "You are my Son, the Beloved. with you, I am well pleased. Even if these words came as a whisper, even if no one but Jesus overheard them, the truth remained. The heavens were torn apart and they would never be able to close quite as tightly again. In Jesus, God chose to inhabit the earth in a new way. There was no going back. On the torn places in our lives, the places that are torn apart, whether they're ripped open by addiction or death or fear or anxiety or illness or injury or grief or trauma, they'll never go back together again, just quite as neat and clean as they were before. You know that to be true. And yet in those torn places, love can just start to filter its way through. A place that can't be closed as tightly again as it was before is precisely the kind of place where God can sneak in. Now, it wasn't long from the day that he saw the heavens torn apart that Jesus began to do some tearing apart of his own, tearing apart people's imaginations and expectations of what a Messiah was to be. He tore apart the social fabric that separated the rich and the poor. He broke through the hardness of heart to bring forth compassion within people for one another. He tore apart the chains that bound some in the demon's power. He broke through rituals that had become too rigid, too routine. He tore apart the notion of what it meant to be God's beloved son. As a great preacher once said of Jesus' baptism, nothing would ever be the same. For the heavens would never close again so tightly. What's been torn apart in your life, in our community, in our country, in our world? Now, you might not name the same places or people as the one sitting next to you, but we all know something or someone that's been torn apart. What if you could reveal through that rending, the words that God did? You are beloved. Well, maybe you need to hear this for yourself first, and so I am here to tell you, you are beloved. You are God's beloved. What would it take for those places and people that have been torn apart to hear God's message, to hear, you are beloved? This weekend, as racism's deep roots have been yet again revealed, we also remember and celebrate the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Maybe you have the day off tomorrow. Maybe you don't. There will be lots of events going on in Fort Collins. Dr. King spent his life casting a vision of what it means to be beloved. Have you heard of the beloved community? It was his vision for the whole world in which all people can share in the wealth of the earth. In the beloved community, poverty, hunger, homelessness can't be tolerated because international standards of human decency just simply will not allow it. Racism and all forms of discrimination, bigotry, prejudice are replaced in the beloved community by an all-inclusive spirit of sisterhood and brotherhood. Love and trust triumph over fear and hatred. And Dr. King acknowledged that conflict, messiness, is part of beloved community, that people and places being torn apart is an inevitable part of the human experience. But he also believed that conflicts could be resolved peacefully and adversaries could be reconciled. The core value driving all of this, this whole vision for the world, agape love, not filial love, the love that you have for your friends, not eros love, the love you have for your significant other, agape love. Love at its ultimate, love at its most self-sacrificing. When God calls Jesus God's beloved, you are my beloved, as the heavens are torn apart, beloved's root word there is agape. When we see or hear of places or people being torn apart, God is there in the tearing. God is the one who is coming through in those places that will never be bound up as tightly as they once were. May we be there too, refusing to use anything but the very best love to stitch them back together again.
Wash, O God, your sons and daughters, newborn creatures of your womb. Number them among your people, raised like Christ from death and tomb. Weave them garments bright and sparkling, compass them with love and light. Fill, anoint them, send your spirit, holy dove and heart's delight. Every day we need your nurture, by your milk may we be fed. Let us join your feast partaking, cup of blessing, living bread. God, renew us, guide our footsteps, free from sin and all its snares. One with Christ in living, dying, by your spirit, children heirs. Oh, how deep your holy wisdom, unimagined all your ways. To your name be glory, honor, with our lives we worship, praise. We, your people, stand before you, water washed and spirit born. By your grace our lives we offer, recreate us, God, transform.
Each week is an act of worship and as a form of invitation. The bread of life, the body of Christ, is torn apart. In that tearing, God's love for each of us bursts through. We remember that on a night of desertion and betrayal, Jesus was gathered at table with his disciples when he took a loaf of bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray.